Ending whackness in the name of blackness. You are listening to the Cedric Muhammad and Black Coffee Show only at blackcoffeechannel.com.
I'm black, even with a calm male complexion. Look in the mirror, see Malcolm and Martin in reflection. I'm black, just like the Panthers, looking for an answer. This prejudice, it's like a cancer. I'm black, look in my eyes, the wool can't get pulled over. Look in my cars, I stay getting pulled over. I'm black, meaning public enemies, number one government. Looking in the hood, sending in the... I'm black, I grew up off the good times show. Drink liquor, smoke, then let the good times roll. I'm black, I live for my wife and my seeds. And my mind with a bond, only God could exceed. I'm black, I got to show my homeboys love. First thing you learned in the hood was homeboy love. I'm black, and I'm that if I ain't nothing else. I'm black, I'm beautiful, I love myself.
Love yourself. Ooh. So proud to be just who I am. So proud to say that I'm me. So proud to be just who I am. So proud to be so free. I'm black. So proud to say that I made it.
I'm black.
Even with the struggle and the hatred.
I'm black.
And I'm not afraid to say
I'm black. Black.
Cedric Muhammad Black Coffee Program, June 25th, 2008. See, this is why I like Dawood. See, unlike some people who get their feelings hurt, or we disagree with, they run off and we never see them again, Dawood has maintained. You don't have to agree with me. Don't run away though. If I don't agree with you, I have the power of my own broadcast system here, but I will not deny you. You don't have to agree with me. So Brother Dawood has exemplified lawful dialogue by maintaining his position and staying in the building. I had a couple of very intelligent viewers, very important, just broke out because we chopped it up one day. That's called business and building. Let me give Dawood another standing applause. So I'm trying to get some sleep on Saturday morning, man. I got to talk about that. I got to talk about some real people that I interacted with this weekend or all last week. So, but anyway, let me tell you the story, because this may have happened to you in your city. Lil Wayne sold 1 million records and I can prove it. So I'm trying to sleep 2-3 in the morning on a Saturday. I guess this is going into Sunday morning. I got back real late. I'll tell you why. I was at a righteous get together. So I'm sitting there hearing all this noise. People are emptying out the clubs and the nightlife situations. And so I keep hearing this funny noise. It's a song, so I know it's Lil Wayne, but it must be the chorus sounds weird. So I could not. This ruined my night. If you heard this song late night, the chorus is so unique. This chorus has messed me up. If this is ringing in your ear, let me know.
Yeah.
Cedric Muhammad Black Coffee Program. Bobby Valentino is getting on my nerves with this.
Yeah.
It's kind of hypnotic though. A million records Lil Wayne did.
When
I get up all in ya, we can hear the angels calling us. We can see the sunrise before us. And when I'm in that thing, I make that body sing.
Dawood, can you hit that?
She got me thinking I could date a cop. Cause her uniform pants were so tight. She read me my rights. She put me in.
If any of you all want to call in hour number 4 and sing this Bobby Valentino hook the way he does it, you can come on, all right?
Yeah. Yeah.
she the law, and she know I'm the ball, and she know I get high above the law, and she know I'm raw, she know I'm from the street, and all she want me to do is f*** the police, talking about
when I get up all in ya.
Ending whackness in the name of blackness. You are listening to the Cedric Muhammad and Black Coffee Show only at blackcoffeechannel.com.
Number, she said 911, huh? Emergency only, head doctor perform surgery on me, yeah, and now I'm healed, I make her wear nothing but handcuffs and heels, then I beat it like a cop, Rodney King, baby, yeah, I beat it like a cop, beat it like a cop.
You are tuned in to The Watchman, Cedric Muhammad, on the Black Coffee Channel.
Mrs. Officer, I know you wish your name was Mrs. Calder, huh?
Ending whackness.
When I get up all in ya, we can hear the angels calling us. We can see the sunrise before us. And when I'm in that thing, I make that body sing.
Mrs. Officer, tell your lieutenant get them cuffs off for ya. I'm Kid Kid, my face on every wanted poster. I'm wanted by every lady cop all over. That so big, I catch a battery to hold ya. Hair so big, you thought I told you pull it over. She pulled me over, pulled me out the Rover. Then she pulled me closer, threw me in back of the car, put me in handcuffs, start ripping my pants up.
All you hear over the dispatcher is. And throw away the key. Call your sergeant and tell him you can't finish your shift. Cause it's on tonight. Breakfast in bed turns to breakfast in. And I can't wait to get it home. I wanna do it all night long. Mrs. Officer. When I get up all in ya, we can hear the angels calling us. We can see the sunrise before us. Body sang, I make you say, wee, 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 wee.
Ending whackness in the name of blackness. You are listening to the Cedric Muhammad and Black Coffee Show only at blackcoffeechannel.com.
June 25th, 2008. Now, I hope I have ruined you. If you keep hearing the Bobby Valentino hook throughout the rest of the show and over the holiday weekend, I've done my job. Now, Dawood says, he says, what you are saying is right, but you don't know how many devils are out there. If you want me to go, I go. What now? And he says, reason why I took it personal is because a white woman and a nigga, that's how he said it, and a judge did some low down dirty snake stuff to my teen daughter that's pregnant now, and she's bitter, and when I tried to send her to an MGT, she didn't want to talk. He also says, yeah, I could sing anything, but I am going to put the fire hoses on Lil Wayne and Bobby Valentino. Alright, let me catch up. You all are blowing me up. Tasha says, Pop Warner football. She was saying that you should go to your daughter's play like you go to your son's Pop Warner football game. Men can choose partners that have high regard for their self-worth, and that means any that they lay with, potentially the baby mama. They can help little girls by making sure when they hear a boy call a girl Shone, which is a term here in Miami, which is short for action, said Action. educating us on the slang, telling them not all girls are fast sluts, whores, etc. The list of things men can do for girls is endless. Shown. So if you hear your daughter being called shown, it's not a good look. The great L.A. Czar from Brooklyn, he says, well, the women in my congregation are working with young sisters in the inner cities. We have self-funded programs to encourage women to better themselves. I am ashamed of myself based on this topic. And with the will of God, I will do better encouraging my sisters. That's beautiful, L.A. Czar. Emil Carr says, I am a father of two daughters. Despite all I do regarding self-love, etc., my 18-year-old is pregnant. I am devastated and it has affected our relationship. Trying to give tough love and continue to mentor, this is hard to deal with. Courtney from Los Angeles, he says, by the way, Cedric, I can't believe you are jumping off of the KRS Kobe Reign Supreme bandwagon. The Lakers are one of the youngest teams in the NBA. Check them out next season. I agree, especially if they, you know, what I'm hearing is Lamar Odom for Richard Jefferson. That's the trade that I'm hearing. Lakers for New Jersey Nets trade. And possibly Ron Artest. Now, the Lakers get Ron Artest and they bring back Andrew Bynum. Nobody will beat them. She says, I can't believe you are jumping off the bandwagon. The Lakers are one of the youngest teams in the NBA. Check it next season. And as far as Shaq goes, much love to the brother. What is Shaq's MC name? He says, much love to the brother, but why did he have to call out Patrick Ewing and Dr. J in the freestyle? I didn't catch him saying anything about Dr. J. I didn't know that. He did say, let's analyze this one more time, everybody. This is the Shaq freestyle. Let's break this down together.
You know how I be. Last week, Kobe couldn't do without me. You know how I be. Last week, Kobe couldn't do without me. I call myself big, but I'm not as good as Biggie. I call myself big because I live next to Diddy. Excuse me, Diddy lived next to me. So in the hood, dog, I feel like B.I.G. Because if Biggie was still here, he would be right there on Star Island in the mansion somewhere chilling, sitting on about half a billion. Because me and Guns combined, that's half a billion. For real, dog, now that's B.I.G. Ain't nobody in the world do it bigger than me. That's like a white boy trying to be more nigga than me. That's like a homeless cat having more figures than me. That's like Patrick Ewing having more rings than me. That's like rappers having cars, strip things than me. That's like you saying to yourself, you're better than me. That's like Kareem saying to himself, he better than me. Now stop, think about that. It ain't about that. It's about B.I.G., a.k.a. Big Shaq. Now that's the difference between first and last place. Kobe, nigga, tell me how my tastes. Okay, Kobe. Tell me how my tastes. Okay, everybody. Kobe, tell me how my tastes. I'm a horse. Kobe ratted me out. That's why I'm getting divorced. He said Shaq gave a meal. I don't do that because my name's Shaquille. I love him. I don't leave him. I got a vasectomy. Now I can't breed him. Kobe, how my tastes. Everybody, Kobe, how my tastes. Yeah, you couldn't do it without me. Kobe, you couldn't do it without me. Kobe, you can't do it without me. Everybody, Kobe, tell me how my tastes. Yeah, you can't do it without me. Yeah, you can't do it without me. Yeah, you can't do it without me. Everybody, Kobe. Yeah. Thank you. Brick City in the building.
Uh-oh, yeah. I'm mixing three records at once. So underneath my voice, for the bulk of the show, we're going to hear the hot new joints that are on radio. I want to educate a lot of you older listeners and entertain you younger ones. And those caught in the middle, you just have to find your own way. This is Got Money, Lil Wayne featuring T-Pain, all right? And from what I understand, they're going to do a Best of Both Worlds album, T-Pain and Lil Wayne. Okay, now, let me keep reading here. Got some good posts here. Amilcar from Brooklyn says, Amilcar, you can say it different ways, the great individual you named after. Anyway, I recognize that this issue is not new and not the end of the world because our guidance was not heeded. She has to step up and deal with it. He's talking about teenage pregnancy. I love her, but the hurt is so much it is taking me a while to accept and provide a support system without making this responsibility too easy for her. I give you a little advice, brother. You got to let go of the disappointment and the maybe guilt you feel. I'm speaking to a man whose 18-year-old daughter is pregnant. Let go of the guilt and the disappointment, because the connection you will make with the with your grandchild allows you another opportunity to further the principles that you taught your daughter. It's okay, man. I know how, you know, the guilt is something and the disappointment, but it's okay. Let's let it go. I think you're a fine father. The fact that you have this concern. And again, what separates you, brother, from any other father where the condom, you know, did not break, where the pill was taken on time. See, there's no difference. This could happen to any father, any mother. If you have sex, you have a possibility of pregnancy. It's as simple as that. If the egg and the sperm are working. So the result is not what you judge this by. If you did your best faith effort, let's get ready for the third generation of the Amilcar legacy, which will be this beautiful and healthy grandchild that we are praying for you and your daughter to bring into this world. Okay, James from Fredericksburg, VA. He says, Cedric, a father should take his daughter on her first date, first formal, first dance, etc. He should show her how she should expect to be treated. Open doors, pull out chairs, etc. If a father doesn't show his daughter how she should be treated, who will? Excellent post, James. Again, look into this Daddy's Promise movement started by Ed Gordon. I'm of the view that the daughter-father friendship is the most critical. There should be a friendship, as well as a disciplinary relationship between a daughter and a father. That daughter has to feel comfortable opening up. LA's off from Brooklyn. He says, well, let's create an influential campaign so we can build a citadel like for our youth. It's pretty hard to do things by yourself. Let's look into what Ed Gordon's doing and see if we can get involved, LA's. I'll let you look at that. If Ed Gordon is talking the right stuff, maybe we'll support him. All right, this is another track. This one right here is Moving Mountains by Usher. We're going to talk about Zimbabwe in just a little bit, but I want to bring you close to the hottest new joints on radio, which your young girls and boys are listening to. Speak to them, Ush. All right, it's Ush. Let me continue with your post before we start talking about Zimbabwe. I want to thank the brothers for stepping up, the men. I know we got some Caucasian listeners, too. You are welcome. You're part of Black Coffee Channel Nation. Oh, by the way, Usher is the second greatest R&B singer of the last 25 years. Second greatest. I said this last week. It's indisputable. Oh, I want to make a point about teenage pregnancy using Usher. Rod Ginyard, Culver City, California, the great one, he's in the building. He says, you may have moved off of this, but Natasha is right, as usual. And I wanted to weigh in with how I deal with four teenage nieces. I pique their curiosity and drill deep with the truth about men and boys and how they think and work. I do not preach, but I speak truth, and they tend to listen. Thank you, Rod Ginyard, the uncle to four teenage nieces. Shane from Houston, Texas says, I was just in the lobby and I was talking to a attractive white woman, and a couple of brothers walked by, and the first thing they did was look to see if she had some ass. How many of you brothers do the same? If they do not have the goods, are you disappointed with the brother she is with? Rod Ginyard continues, my nieces have absent and or abusive fathers, so they need a man to help understand what the pitfalls of a young or a black young adulthood are. Rod says again, my nieces have absent and or abusive fathers, so they need a man to help understand what the pitfalls of black young adulthood are. Very good. Shane, break this down again. The brothers were looking at the backside of the white woman in the lobby at your place of work. I don't know what to say. Let me fall back. This right here is Put On by Young Jeezy featuring Kanye West. Let me give you a verse of this.
Ending whackness in the name of blackness. You are listening to the Cedric Muhammad and Black Coffee Show only at blackcoffeechannel.com.
Okay, that's verse number one, Young Jeezy featuring Kanye West, called Put On. I put on for my city. Okay. Adabu said, hey, I like the show, said the CM Cat business you have created. Keep going. I'm going to send you a $25 donation. Thank you, brother. Keenan from Chicago. Oh, Keenan, I got Coco Mango China Musk mix on today. What oils are we rocking? Keenan says, peace, bro. If Lil Wayne is keeping hip-hop alive, we are in trouble. You got to feel like that coach lining up his talent at the top of the season, assessing his talent like, is this the best we can do? And it used to be Shaq Fu, that's right. We don't need no hooks. That's right. Shaq was riding with the Fushnikins. James from Hayward, California, he says, Shaq really needs to keep Kareem's name out of his mouth. He is not on his level. That's right. He did take a shot at Kareem. Shane from Houston says, Shaq is the rap name. His best song is Can't Stop the Rain. That's right. No hooks. He did that with RZA. And was it GZA? LA Zaw says, can I get some advice from the women out here? I have an 8-year-old daughter. very elegant and smart for her age. The problem is she seems to be more focused more on clothes, fashion, and music. I used to be strict, but I stopped when she only talked to her stepmom. What should I do to prevent future problems? I'm going to read that again for Eleazar. Eleazar needs advice from the women in our audience. Eleazar from Brooklyn says, can I get some advice from the women out there? I have an 8-year-old daughter, very elegant and smart for her age. The problem is she seems to be more focused more on clothes and fashion and music. I used to be strict, but I stopped when she only talked to her stepmom. What should I do to prevent future problems? Amilcar says, thank you for the advice. The best I have had. I love you, brother. I love you too, brother. You're doing good. Don't worry. Oh, this is Kanye on the Jeezy song. I'm not feeling the use of synthesizers, by the way. You are not Roger Troutman. You are not Zapp. I'm not feeling that at all, by the way. It's getting epidemic. Goodness gracious. We're going to have to hear for 2 or 3 more years hip-hop artists and R&B singers using voice synthesizers. Cameron, if you're out there, how do we stop this? Cameron from Paterson, New Jersey, our resident encyclopedic. Well, he has encyclopedic knowledge about music. Okay. Oh, by the way. Oh, okay. This right here is No Matter What by T.I. I'm going to get to Mugabe in Zimbabwe, but I got to put you all on to the hottest music that I get actually before the radio stations do. You'll be hearing some of these songs in a few days, or you may have already started hearing them in recent weeks. This is No Matter What by T.I. Has there been a change in T.I.'s lyrics since he hit the Bing? Speak to us, T.
Hey, never had you seen in your lifetime a more divine southern rapper with a swag like mine. Facing all kind of time, but smile like I'm fine. Brag with such passion to shine without trying. Believe me, pain's a small thing to a giant. I was born without a dime. Out the gutter I climbed, spoke my mind and didn't stutter one time. At least even the greatest gotta suffer sometimes. So I huff and puff rhyme. Lyrics so sick with it, set the standard in Atlanta. How to get. So you up and coming rappers wanna diss, just kill it. I'm officially the realest, point blank period. Whether I still live in the hood or just visit, whatever you can do in the hood, I done did it. That's why the dope boys and the misfits feel it. This still is city long as tip living. Listen, I ain't dead.
I don't know. What do y'all think? Okay. Reggie from Chicago, he says Shaq took it back to his rookie days with the Fushnikas. Peace and blessings. Yes, Shaq has now given the world the greatest freestyle diss ever. This is better than No Vaseline from Ice Cube, in my opinion. Natasha says, to the point of fathers showing their fathers how they should be treated, or fathers showing their daughters how they should be treated. I agree, but from a different angle. I think fathers should treat their women like that so that daughters expect this as the norm. He also should teach his sons how to treat women and prepare them for their first dates. While parents do this, or white parents do this, pardon me, white parents do this, and it is passed on as common knowledge. White men tell their sons what to do for a young lady prior to the date, how to act, and also demonstrate this continued behavior with their spouses. And kids pick up on this, and it sticks even more when they are told to do these things. She says, Kanye is quite the outspoken comedian. See his latest blogs about his incident. Benoru. Or his 2 cents on the Ice-T Soulja Boy beef. I'm curious on your opinion. That's waiting for me to read, Natasha, this Ice-T Soulja Boy beef. I will look into it. Trent from Asbury Park has been smoked out by Shane telling us that the brothers were looking at the backside of the white girl, the white woman, in the lobby at his workplace. The brothers looked back to see the backside of the white woman at his job. This just happened on lunch break, breaking news about maybe an hour ago. Trent says to Shane, I do not mess with white bread, brother. Eleazar says, Cedric, I am begging you, please play any song from Immortal Technique's new album, Third World. Please, I am begging you. Be patient, Eleazar. I'm going to do better than that. Just keep listening. Dawood City. Dawood says, that's something I remember this Jewish cat say to me. It ain't fun. Ain't that funny how a man and a woman have sex and produce a baby? He used different words. You know what I mean? Okay. All right, I think we send in some more. Again, Eleazar needs advice. He's been strict on his 8-year-old, and I think he saw diminishing returns because she was only speaking to her stepmother. Sisters, please give Eleazar some advice. He wants to know what to do. His daughter is too drawn. She's 8 years old. She's too drawn to fashion and clothing. Eleazar needs to stop this. Pernell from College Park, Maryland, he says, Cedric, did you watch the BET Awards last night? En Vogue was off the hook, but the images of women on stage dovetails with your topic. Chris Brown and Ciara simulated sex on the stage. What a waste of talent. At least the audience was schooled on the legend of Quincy Jones. Peace, Pernell from College Park, Maryland. I did not watch it. I caught the end of it. I saw Quincy Jones get his award, but I did not watch the show in its entirety. So now, oh, Dawood says, I don't even listen to the radio. I get all my new music from you. Peace. Thank you, brother. That's why I listen to your show every time I get the chance. Plus, you educate me. Peace. Thank you, Dawood. Hour number one, Dawood and I had an argument. If you want to listen to the archives, you'll find it. And now we're back friends again, as Jay-Z says. This right here is a Millie from Lil Wayne.
You know you make it do it, you baby. Say thug in your life, that's what you need, Charlie. Anything you want, we scanty for my boo, boo. Yeah, and I ain't tryna go hard on what I need, shawty. I'm just tryna tell you exactly what I need from you, 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 you. Cause you know I wanna
freak in the morning, the freak in the evening. Just call me up and I'll be there when you need me. Whenever you want me, you can come and see me. Cause you know just what to do. You give me the business, give me the business, give me the business.
Oh, this is not a Millie from Lil Wayne. This is The Business by Young Berg featuring Kesha. She says, a freak in the morning, a freak in the evening. The Business. Young Berg. Young Berg, not Lil Wayne. My fault.
Wanna rub, wanna lick, wanna touch, wanna be right beside you, baby. Yeah. Wanna climb on top of you and give it to you for an hour or two. You're number one, I wanna take it to the back. Ooh, so strong for a minute or two.
This hot song is what your teenage daughter's listening to.
When I mean like, to the sunlight. Yeah. We can have a little sex in the city, baby. You could be Carrie, I'ma be a Mr. Big's fight. Okay. Cause you're so fine and you're just right. But you look much better with me. With so me. Let me manage your girl and never tell you that it's nice to know ya. And you know I wanna
freak in the morning, the freak in the evening.
This is Ciara.
You can come and see me. Cause you know just what to do. You give me the business. Give me the business. Give me the business. You give me the business. Give me the business. If you know
The Business. So if you hear this terminology, I'm trying to help y'all out. Tasha from Miami says the BET Awards were worth the watch just to see Maxwell. Anthony Hamilton and Jill Scott pay tribute to Al Green. And please, I am so over Lil Wayne. Have you heard about his mixtape DJ rant of his incoherent message thanking his fans and his comments on why he doesn't do cocaine?
Give me the business. If you know exactly what I wanna do.
All right, let's go into Zimbabwe. Two reports from the BBC, and then I'm going to let you hear the Zimbabwe ambassador to the United Nations, all right? Then we're going to hour number three. Listen up.
Condemnation of the Mugabe government seems to be coming from every corner. The African Union, the US Secretary of State, and a litany of others are calling for action. But what can the international community do, if anything, to stop Zimbabwe from sliding further into chaos? Ola Guerin reports from Johannesburg.
These are some of Robert Mugabe's men, hurling insults, armed and dangerous. Yesterday their task was to stop an opposition rally. Here's how they did it. They can be summoned on cue. The fear is their next assignment could be to beat Zimbabweans into voting for President Mugabe on Friday, so he can claim to be the people's choice. The word from Harare is that fear and uncertainty walk the streets. Freelance journalist Brian Hungwe gave us this account by phone.
There is a lot of fear. Every night, there are night patrols by ZANU-PF militias that are demanding ZANU-PF cards from ordinary people.
The way now looks open for Robert Mugabe to swear himself in as Zimbabwe's president for another 5 years. The opposition hopes his fellow African leaders will refuse to recognize him. But for decades, he's been an icon on this continent, a liberation hero. Is Africa ready to give him more than a slap on the wrist? And how can he run the economy he has destroyed? Here's a sample of last week's prices. They've gone up since then. A packet of Cadbury's chocolate eclairs, 193 million Zimbabwe dollars. Harpic toilet cleaner, 387 million. And buying a sandwich cost almost 5 billion Zimbabwe dollars. The Prime Minister Gordon Brown says it's time for a strong response.
The international community must send a powerful and united message that we will not recognize the fraudulent election rigging and the violence and intimidation of a criminal and discredited cabal, and we are ready to offer substantial help to the reconstruction of Zimbabwe once democracy has been restored.
Tonight, the United Nations Security Council is discussing the crisis.
The situation in Zimbabwe represents the single greatest challenge to regional stability in southern Africa today. The region's political and economic security are at stake, as is the very institution of elections in Africa.
This was the backdrop that made a free and fair vote impossible, state-sponsored violence that claimed more than 80 lives. Western nations want the Security Council to condemn President Mugabe for the bloodshed, but South Africa could try to shield him, as it has done before. Orla Guerin, BBC News, Johannesburg.
Well, as Orla mentioned there in her report, the UN Security Council is discussing what action to take on Zimbabwe. For more on their deliberations, I'm joined now by the BBC's Richard Bilton. He's at UN headquarters in New York for us. Richard, the Zimbabwe economy is already in hyperinflationary meltdown, so economic sanctions won't do the trick. What can the UN Security Council do to force Robert Mugabe into adopting a different course of action?
Well, very little is the truthful answer. If you want to know what will actually happen after tonight's Security Council meeting, then in real terms, it's very difficult to hold something up and say, look, this is what will change. If you speak to the diplomats here at the United Nations, they will say everything changes by degrees, and that what you can see today here is a movement, an increased pressure. We heard Ban Ki-moon there, very, very critical. This is a man who's normally about quiet diplomacy, being loud and clear in his condemnation. The Security Council meeting that's going on right now, it's a closed session, but we know from beforehand that the Americans, the British, the French wanted a strong statement. But it is just a statement, it's not a resolution, it doesn't have any teeth. Of course, if the South Africans agree, that's a big step forward, but it won't actually make any difference. It'll just slowly, slowly ramp up the pressure.
He's already isolated, is Robert Mugabe. His economy is in meltdown. Sanctions won't work. There are harsh words out to the UN, but is there a feeling when you talk to UN diplomats, Richard, that he is getting away with it once again?
Well, there is a sense that more and more it's indefensible, that the position is more and more vulnerable. I think what's interesting, though, if you want to look at the actual immediate fate of the country and the next few days and weeks, I spoke to Boniface Chijuseeker, who is the ambassador here for Zimbabwe, and he was completely unmoved by today's statement, felt that it made no difference, and that the UN was just part of the world community ganging up on Zimbabwe, refused to accept that there were any issues that they needed to deal with.
Richard Bilton in New York, thank you very much.
Okay, now that's the BBC for Monday night. Now, keep in mind, Mugabe, I think, kicked the BBC out of Zimbabwe. So they always do these reports in Johannesburg, South Africa. Now, let me give you the report from last night's BBC. Then we're going to hear the Zimbabwe ambassador to the UN interviewed, okay? I want you to hear, quote unquote, both sides. One more. BBC last night.
Zimbabwe's President Robert Mugabe continues to thumb his nose at the international community and his own neighbors. His main opponent is still hiding in the Dutch embassy in Harare. Just about everyone outside his ruling party has concluded that the election in 3 days will be a sham. Hyperinflation has turned Zimbabwe into a country of destitute billionaires. And yet today, the 84-year-old leader was out on the campaign trail with the jauntiness of a jester. Sporting one of his vintage colourful jackets, Mugabe taunted his former rival, Morgan Tsvangirai, for pulling out of the election after mounting violence against his supporters. Our Africa correspondent, Orla Guerin, has been following all the day's developments from Johannesburg.
Zimbabwe's opposition leader remains out of sight at his temporary refuge, the Dutch embassy. But Morgan Tsvangirai is taking heart from last night's statement by the UN Security Council.
I think it's a very important resolution. It recognizes the people who are accountable for the violence and squarely places that responsibility of Mr. Mugabe's leadership.
This was Morgan Tsvangirai's last public appearance on Sunday, looking weary as he withdrew from the election runoff. Today, the Mugabe regime called him a crybaby, who could move at will, though he's recently been detained 5 times. Faced with growing international condemnation, Robert Mugabe seems to have set his sights on keeping power, whatever the damage to his reputation. This was his last inauguration as president. African leaders standing by his side. But if he swears himself in again, the guest list could be much shorter. His fellow African presidents are turning their backs on him. For the first time, South Africa, the regional power, has abandoned its so-called quiet diplomacy, supporting last night's UN statement. And newspapers here are depicting Robert Mugabe as an election bully, not a liberation hero. The tactics used by his ZANU-PF party, now rejected by a former comrade in arms.
Much as we were together with ZANU-PF for many years, but certainly we cannot agree with what ZANU-PF is doing at this point in time. I think it has gone out of hand, out of control. We will
proceed with... But at his latest campaign rally, Robert Mugabe was defiant, saying the vote will go ahead on Friday, and his critics in London, Washington and elsewhere can mind their own business.
Our South Africa correspondent Orla Guerin reporting there. So what real action is the international community prepared to take against President Robert Mugabe? That's the question I posed to Jendai Fraser. She's Assistant Secretary of State here for African Affairs. Madam Secretary, thank you very much for joining us from the State Department. Is Robert Mugabe getting away with it?
No, I don't think he is. And I think that the action taken at the UN Security Council yesterday and the issuance of the presidential statement clearly condemns his government for the violence. It condemns them for intimidating the opposition, not allowing the runoff to go forward so that the opposition can participate, and also for stopping the humanitarian assistance going into the people of Zimbabwe. So no, I think that the world focuses on him right now and that he will be held accountable for these actions.
Well, accountable is one thing, condemnation another. The verbal condemnation from the United Nations alone really doesn't amount to much, does it?
Well, it does matter in this case because it's the first time that the Security Council has formally taken up the issue of Zimbabwe. And now that it's established that this is an international concern, there will be efforts, if in fact the conditions aren't changed, to increase the sanctions against that government.
Is there a case for regime change in Harare, in Zimbabwe?
Well, some say that the regime change has happened because the Joint Operations Command, which is made up of the Zimbabwean army, police, and intelligence organizations, are more in control. I happen to think that President Mugabe and his security apparatus are in charge.
But I'm talking about the kind of regime change that your administration, in its cause to spread democracy around the world, has affected in other parts of the world. I'm talking about regime change brought about by military means.
Well, no, we don't want to see regime change through military action. What we want is for the people of Zimbabwe to be able to select their own leadership.
At what stage does the disaster, the chaos in Zimbabwe, and his ability to get away with it become a reason for military intervention, which your administration has used arguably in lesser circumstances elsewhere before?
Well, we haven't used that in Africa. We've been very much successfully... We've been successful in working with African governments, the regional organizations, and the UN to try to push for democratic change and transformation across the continent. And I think that's what's called for in Zimbabwe as well.
The condemnation clearly hasn't worked so far. He does seem to be getting away with it for now. At what stage do you really lean on South Africa, the key player in all this, to make the crucial difference?
Well, we are certainly in discussions with the South Africans right now. I understand that they're trying to mediate between the parties in terms of trying to bring President Mugabe and Morgan Tsvangirai together for face-to-face talks. I think that South Africa is part of the key, but it's not the only country that matters. The whole SADC, the Organ for Defense, Politics, and Security, which is made up of Tanzania, Swaziland, and Angola, are playing a critical role, and the African Union as well has to play a critical role, as well as the European Union. When we start talking about serious sanctions against the government, well, the United States has sanctions against individuals, targeted sanctions. We can increase those against the government, and we might push for the UN to also multilateralize those sanctions, and in that case, the European Union will be critical.
Deputy Secretary of State Jindal Fraser, thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you very
much. All right. Now, you heard all of that. You listened closely, I trust. Now, let's hear the Zimbabwe government's ambassador to the United Nations answer these charges. You make your decision. This is last night on NewsHour. Our sister Gwen Ifill did the questioning. Listen up.
Yesterday, we spoke with U.S. Ambassador to the United Nations, Zalmay Khalilzad, about the deteriorating security situation in Zimbabwe. Last night, the U.N. Security Council condemned what it calls a campaign of violence that will render free and fair elections impossible. Now, the other side of the story. From Zimbabwe's ambassador to the United Nations, Boniface Chidiasiku, I spoke with him a short time ago. Mr. Ambassador, welcome.
Thank you.
The United Nations, where you sit, has called for Friday's elections in Zimbabwe to be called off. Will they?
No.
Why not?
Well, the United Nations has no mandate to give instructions to member states on when or when they should hold elections. So that is the prerogative of a sovereign state to decide when and when it suits them to do elections.
So how do you conduct a free and fair election without an opposition candidate?
The opposition candidate has been playing to the media. He deliberately saw defeat in the face, and he realized that the only way out was to jump ship and appeal to the international community, who have accepted what his antics. And he is now galvanizing international opinion against the government of Zimbabwe. But as far as we are concerned, we need a mandate from the people, because on the 29th of March, that mandate was not given to any of the candidates that aspired to be president of Zimbabwe. And as per our constitution, that requires a runoff. And we have put the systems into place that Friday there will be a runoff, and we are proceeding ahead.
I don't have to tell you what it is that folks in the United Nations and other Southern African nations are saying. They're saying 85 people have been killed, 200 are missing, 30,000 have been displaced in what they call political violence in your country during this runoff election. Who's responsible for that?
The violence in Zimbabwe, from our perspective, there's been intra-party violence. And that violence, both the MDC and ZANU-PF have been found to be guilty of some acts of violence. And on the statistics part of it, we have had most incidences of violence perpetrated by the MDC on ZANU-PF supporters than on ZANU-PF against MDC. And furthermore, when I speak to the police general headquarters in Harare, they tell me that 10% of the country has had some incidences of violence and 90% has not seen that.
So let me just clarify for our viewers, the MDC is Morgan Tsvangirai's opposition party and the ZANU-PF is Robert Mugabe's party. Morgan Tsvangirai has been detained five times, separate times in the last few weeks. Was that not a political detention?
That's what the international community has been told. But the times that he has been asked by the police to visit a police station, he has been transgressing the laws of the land. For instance, in one case, he was driving in a public road, escorted by vehicles that were disturbing other road users. So the police called him and told him that you don't travel like that in the country. And he called that a detention.
So if you choose not to believe, as you do, Morgan Tsvangirai's version of events, what about what the non-governmental organizations say who have been trying to provide emergency food distribution in Zimbabwe but have been told not to?
The issue of NGOs, we have an agreement with the World Food Program where NGOs have to observe a certain conduct of behavior in their carrying out of their activities. And we believe as government in Zimbabwe that the primary responsibility to feed the people of Zimbabwe rests with the government. NGOs can only supplement or complement what government does.
And the government is indeed feeding those people?
That's not correct. We have imported 600 tons of maize into Zimbabwe, which we are giving to the people. That's not beating the people. And people, the international community, tends to ignore that. We have been importing food and we have been distributing it to the people in Zimbabwe. The international community or the NGOs do complement what the government of Zimbabwe is doing to feed the people of Zimbabwe. And for your own information, last year, when the United Nations made an appeal for humanitarian assistance in Zimbabwe, the response to that appeal was 17%. And that 17% is a reflection of political consideration by the very countries that are crying foul today. They did not even give their money to Zimbabwe because of political consideration. And today, they are shedding crocodile tears about humanitarian situation in Zimbabwe. When you respond 17%, there are countries in the world where humanitarian assistance appeal has been put, and there's been 100% response. Furthermore, Zimbabwe, like other countries inside Southern Africa, are suffering from the scourge of HIV and AIDS, right? There has been an international response to the needs of these people. In Zimbabwe, the average international assistance to an AIDS patient is $4 per annum. But our neighbors get something in the region of almost $200 per AIDS patient per annum.
Do you think
and
that is...
AIDS does not know boundaries. It's only political considerations, and it's stupid,
so
really.
Pardon me, Mr. Ambassador, because I do want to ask you about what your neighbors have been saying. The Southern African Development Community has also said that the situation in Zimbabwe is out of control. This is not just Western nations. It is not just the United Nations, which is directing this criticism at you. What do you say to your neighbors who say that there needs to be a renewed negotiation or at least a halt to what they see as political violence as well?
There was a summit in March in Zambia where the Southern African Development Community met and commended the work done by President Mbeki, and they gave him mandate to mediate on the political impasse, which he is doing. But the problem is some people are so, they don't like the pace that President Mbeki is conducting the work. They've been undermining that work. They want President Mbeki to be condemnatory, which he has refused. And that's why they've discredited his activities. In fact, the international community has become to be an impediment to the efforts of President Mbeki.
If Mr. Tsvangirai were to leave the Dutch embassy where he is currently in hold up right now, would he be safe?
Tsvangirai has always been safe in Zimbabwe. You remember after the March 29 elections, he left the country and claimed that his life was in danger. He was out of the country for 6 weeks, claiming that, you know, he would not go to Zimbabwe because, you know, his life was in danger. He went back to Zimbabwe. What happened to him? The guy is a pathological liar. He's duping the international community that his life is in danger. There's nobody who's interested to get rid of Tsvangirai in Zimbabwe.
So the election will go on Friday. Mr. Ambassador Boniface Chidihiseku, thank you so much for talking with us.
Any comments? You heard the Zimbabwe ambassador respond to the charges. Were you satisfied? We'll talk about that. Also, my suspicion is that invasion or some effort to overthrow Mugabe is underway. I'll read an article that supports my position. But anyway, if you have 200,000% inflation, I've never seen any leader survive that. I predicted last year that within 18 months he'd be out of power. I think I'll be on the money. We may be looking at civil war in Africa.
Ending whackness in the name of blackness. You are listening to the Cedric Muhammad and Black Coffee Show only at blackcoffeechannel.com.